IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Russia launches dozens of missile strikes across Ukraine, including on the capital Kiev, as Ukrainian forces intensify shelling of eastern regions. The U.S. Senate passes a record $858 billion annual military spending bill that includes aid to Taiwan and Ukraine. And official data show that British consumers have cut down on buying goods as the country's cost of living crisis deepens. Hello and welcome, everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. Ukraine says it has shot down the majority of missiles fired by Russia in the latest flurry of such attacks. The chief commander of Ukraine's armed forces says 60 out of 76 Russian missiles were intercepted and destroyed. In southern Ukraine, two people lost their lives after a Russian rocket hit a residential building in Kryvyi Rih city. Meanwhile, in the Russian-controlled eastern Luhansk region, Ukrainian shelling of a village has killed at least 11 people and wounded around 20 others. That's according to pro-Russia forces who called the attack barbaric. Moscow and Kiev have stepped up their attacks against each other's positions in recent weeks. Ukraine says the Russian attacks have heavily damaged its energy infrastructure, causing widespread water and power cuts. Well, the U.S. Senate has passed next year's defense bill that authorizes a record $858 billion in annual defense spending. Senators passed the bill after it was approved by the House last week. It will now go to President Joe Biden to be signed into law. The bill includes a 4.6% pay rise for service members. It authorizes funding for purchases of weapons, ships, and aircraft. The bill also provides Ukraine with additional security assistance in its war with Russia and allocates more aid to Taiwan, whose ties remain tense with China. U.S. senators backed the bill by an overwhelming 83-11 bipartisan majority. The no votes came from a mix of liberals and fiscal conservatives. The liberals are opposed to the ever-rising military budget. The other group wants tighter controls on spending. Earlier, political analyst Marcus Papadopoulos told us how the U.S. plan to adopt the largest military budget in its history is an attempt to shore up its embattled supremacy globally.
That the American government is to adopt the largest defense budget in U.S. history, namely $858 billion, at a time when American national debt stands at an astronomical $31 trillion. Dollars is indicative of the desperate and parlous condition that the American empire finds itself in. Because firstly, in international terms, the American government looks with great anxiety at the emergence of a multipolar world in which major economic powers in the world, such as Russia, China, and India, are dispensing with the dollar in their trade dealings with one another. And secondly, at home, there are major stirrings of anger all across America at the increasing levels of poverty. There are 44 million Americans living below the breadline. And in short, the adoption of a defense budget, which is the largest in US history, is an attempt by Washington to shore up its supremacy internationally and to shore up its control at home.
Well, turning now to the UK, where consumers have cut down on buying goods as the country's cost of living crisis deepens. According to the Office for National Statistics, retail sales by volume fell 0.4% in November. The office has blamed that on weaker online shopping despite Black Friday. Economists say the drop indicates the pressure consumers are enduring due to the surging inflation. They forecast that retail sales would see another drop in December due to heavy snowfall. The UK is grappling with a record inflation rate of nearly 11%, driven by soaring food and energy prices. The rate is above the 2% target of the Bank of England, which has been forced to raise interest rates over the past 12 months. Rising gas and electricity prices continuing to fuel public anger in Europe. Thousands of people have staged a protest in the Belgian capital, Brussels, over pay and working conditions.
When you get home, you've got kids. You want to be warm. We shouldn't be making calculations about energy use. Plus, given how much it's gone up, it takes up a huge part of our salary before you even consider the petrol, taxes, the car, and the rent. If you add it all up, you have to choose. You travel, you heat the house, or you eat. It's not conceivable in 2022.
The government says it has no money, but we need to go after the excess profits of some companies, some multinationals, look at taxation and income from capital and so on and so on. There are lots of options. The government says there is no money, but when the banks had problems, or as we saw with COVID-19, it's always possible to dig out some money. There are options, there are solutions. Now it's time for them to get around the table and come up with solutions because they do exist.
The protest was organized by trade unions representing several public sector workers. While peaceful, the demonstration has hit public transport systems with reports of canceled flights and disrupted traffic. Belgium has not escaped the cost of living crisis set at its fellow member states of the European Union in the wake of the war in Ukraine. The country's inflation rate stood at more than 10% last month. News review, where we look deeper into some of the top stories of the day. On this segment of the program, Britain's Defense Ministry says it will open a statutory inquiry into allegations that its special forces carried out dozens of extrajudicial killings in Afghanistan. The probe will look into misconduct of the British Armed Forces regarding deliberate detention operations in Afghanistan between 2010 and 2013. In July, a report by the BBC alleged that British soldiers had killed 54 Afghans in suspicious circumstances. It cited individuals from the Special Air Service who witnessed the killing of unarmed people during night raids. The findings also suggested that high-ranking officers were aware of the killings but failed to pass on evidence to a murder inquiry. The British military police have previously conducted several inquiries into allegations of misconduct by its forces in Afghanistan. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have Elijah Magnier, journalist and political analyst, joining us from Brussels. Also, we have Carol Varekin, contributor at the Schiller Institute, joining us from the French capital, Paris. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Magnier. We just had the news that the British Defense Ministry says that it will open this inquiry into allegations that its special forces carried out dozens of extrajudicial killings in Afghanistan. Why now?
I think this is just a kind of a show-off, because we know since years by NATO itself that 57% of the casualties were civilian killed by NATO forces. And we also have from NATO the same announcement that they have killed more civilians than the Taliban. We also have seen the investigation run by the Australian Defense Ministry, when the Inspector General Paul Brereton said that there is a warrior culture in Afghanistan embraced by commanders, that they ask junior soldiers to kill a prisoner just to show that they have guts, and they go and slay an Afghani civilian in custody without any judgment or any tribunal. So there are dozens of civilians that were deliberately killed in custody, and we don't know if they were innocent or not innocent, but I'm sure when they are arrested and they are called as civilians, they are without any doubt civilians, because this is what the NATO forces are telling us. So this culture exists and existed among NATO forces and hasn't disappeared. So waking up by the British now and say they want to investigate a killing that has been done between the year 2000 and 2019, when the American forces decided to withdraw and they left only last year a couple of years ago. And then why they were leaving, the Americans bombed a car with civilians and never apologized or never compensated. However, we know from the British that they used to compensate every civilian they killed by between 50 to 100 pounds. Therefore, we see how cheap is the life of Afghani civilians was considered by the British and the Australian and all the other NATO forces operating in Afghanistan.
Sure. Mr. Varakin in Paris, what are your thoughts about the questionable timing of this inquiry?
Well, my take is that it's somehow, I think it's kind of mise en scène. It's a kind of, one can say it's good news outside the fact that it should be done by an outside commission, you know, because the British military department, they have been completely complicit by these things. And it's not, if the people who done it themselves are doing their own investigation, that it's there are British commanders and commandos on the ground in Ukraine, which are probably doing exactly the same thing what they did in Afghanistan, because they're operating under a NATO command structure and an individual Anglo-American operation, even outside NATO, where there is such a sense of impunity, because European countries, Germany, France, have completely collapsed. There's no more. In Germany, at least, there are some peace movements. In France, there are none. In Great Britain, there is no peace movement. So all these people, if you operate even as an honest military, in war is something very dirty. And once you go into a legal framework, which is an illegal war, then, you know, the individual soldier degenerates and becomes a real criminal. He can go into real criminal acts, which are beyond our imagination. The last point is the increasing use of private military companies like Blackwater used to be. So there are many, many people we saw in Iraq, the killings. And then these people have a very high level access to very high level political power and get protected from the top. So this thing, what happened, Amnesty International brought it out in July. It's good there is an investigation, but it's only one micron of the entire problem we have to solve.
That's right. Mr. Magnier, the U.S. forces, of course, are shoulder deep in allegations of extrajudicial killings. The question here is, will there ever be accountability for the crimes that were committed in Afghanistan?
Well, one of the reasons why Julian Assange spent life prison is because he has revealed the wrongdoing of the American forces in Iraq and other dossiers, and among these, the killing of journalists in Baghdad by the U.S. helicopters. So we have seen so many reports by the U.S. committing crime, because it's a criminal offense by the U.K. law, by the U.S. law, by any European law, to hide these crimes. And what we understand is President Donald Trump has pardoned one of the officers of the special forces responsible for killing civilians. So basically, when you have soldiers throwing bombs inside homes without making sure who is in the house, and then realizing that they've killed civilians and entire families, and then reporting it or not reporting it, and then this story is coming out 5 or 6 or 10 years later, or even 15 years later, And then we hear the responsible saying, well, we're going to go do further inquiries and we're going to hold these crimes accountable. But then we don't hear anything about what the army is doing and how they admitted that guilt of committing crimes, how there are criminal court investigation into these crimes.
Mr. Rakin, if you may, please elaborate on the issue of hypocrisy that Mr. Magnier just touched upon. He also counted out a number of countries, Syria, Iraq, in addition to Afghanistan, where such crimes have taken place.
Well, the hypocrisy is that we have a dying system which is relying on colonial methods. These are the old British colonial methods, which is once, first of all, to kill each other, and then if they have to go on the ground, they will do, because these are seen as, if you are a Frenchman or a British and you go into Africa or in the Middle East, you know, they are denying the existence of other countries as such, so they're only behaving like if they would be some kind of part of their own colonial empire, where the laws are much less strict as they would be in their own capital. So it's also a cultural issue of, if we talk about the multipolar world, you know, this means we have to recognize that other civilizations have long cultures and long histories, be it China, be it Afghanistan, be it Iran, be it Russia. These are not just countries. These are the expressions of decades-old cultures.
All right, thanks a lot, gentlemen. That's all the time we have for this segment of the program. Journalist and political analyst Elijah Magnier joining us from Brussels, and contributor at the Schiller Institute, Carol Varekin, joining us from the French capital, Paris. And with that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of the News Review. But do stay tuned. There's plenty more to come here on. Elsewhere in Jordan, people have been staging sit-ins as activists call for more protests against fuel price rises that have added to a cost-of-living squeeze. The protesters are demanding cuts in diesel prices. Tensions have mounted in several cities in southern Jordan, in particular after sporadic strikes by truck drivers. Yesterday, riots in a southern city left one police officer dead. Authorities said the policeman was killed by a gunshot. When armed officers were trying to quell riots, the government has promised to examine truck strikers' demands. However, the government says it's already paid over $700 million to cap fuel prices this year and can't do much more without breaching an International Monetary Fund deal. And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
This year marks the 74th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Although the modern concept of rights and human rights has been raised throughout the discourse of the West since 17th century, the historical evidence shows that while the hypocritical West has been engaged in murder, looting, mass murder, torture, pressure, enslavement, slavery over the past three centuries, its intellectuals and thinkers have been promulgating human rights law for the world. And today, it is the mask of human rights that gives a human gesture to their liberal democracy. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Tehran Times had an eye on this issue, writing, Western countries, and most notably America, are using the power of media to cover their true face with the mask of human rights and deceive the public opinion in the world. They talk about the rights of the nations, while the nations, more than ever before, feel the fire of their seditions. They pretend defense for the rights of minorities, women and children, and asylum seekers, but have been constantly and regularly committing crimes against the majorities around the world. They claim that we are committed to human rights, but in practice, they act differently. They have now turned human rights into a tool to get involved in the affairs of other countries and blackmail them. When one looks at their policy toward Palestine, particularly Gaza, it becomes quite clear how they behave dishonestly. Gaza is the most oppressed place on the earth where people are denied basic rights. It has got the title of the largest open-air prison, and once in a while, the Zionist regime attacks them to destroy the remaining vital infrastructure. They are tortured just because America and some Western powers are backing the racist regime of Israel. Or consider the JCPOA agreement between Iran and 5+1 nations. The United States openly violated UN Security Council Resolution 2231 that confirmed the deal, and the European parties to the agreement refused to honor their obligations. Now, like the pirates of the Caribbean, they have turned it into a tool to blackmail Iran. This is their nature. They're just caring for their own interests at the cost of the rights of others. The practical record of America, England, and France over the past three centuries is indicative of the fact that Western countries have a hypocritical approach toward human rights. We try to cast more light on the crimes of Western regimes by mentioning some concrete examples. America. American help to the Saudis' genocidal acts against Yemenis, which constitute examples of war crimes and crimes against humanity over the past 8 years, are before our eyes. These crimes are completely contrary to the principles of human rights and the international humanitarian rights law stated the United Nations Charter. Consider the Guantanamo prison. Why did the Americans take place and keep them there in most difficult conditions for several years without trial? Or the issue of the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq and the tortures that took place there, helping to create ISIS or Daesh, which was explicitly acknowledged by President Trump in his election campaigns. In various cases, Americans helped ISIS to steal the Iraqi and Syrian oils and occasionally help the ringleaders to escape from possible capture. Inside America, we are also witnessing how the issue of human rights is clearly violated by the ruling U.S. establishment. The freedom to sell and carry weapons in the U.S. is the reason why so many killings take place in this country. You see that once in a while, a nervous or crazy person runs amok in school, university, or market, and fires at people and make many families mournful. There is a big question that why, despite all these tragic deaths, the sale of weapons, it is not stopped. It's clear that American governments are under the influence of these companies that make huge benefits from arms sales. The criminal behavior of the American government and the American police towards the black people. There are numerous instances in which the blacks are subjected to different kinds of injustice or even killed. In such cases, the judicial system holds a sham trial that in most cases lead to the release of the convict. The history of America is replete with flagrant violation of the rights of the people of color, especially the blacks. And about the France. In recent history, France has been characterized as a champion of human rights in artistic and intellectual circles. However, the crimes that France committed during colonialism, especially in Africa, is not highlighted. Remember what the French did in Algeria. They also committed crimes in Morocco and Tunisia. France was once hosting one of the most violent terrorist grouplets in the world. It was the home to leaders of the MKO terrorist grouplet, whose members committed numerous acts of terror in Iran in the early years of 1979 Islamic Revolution. In 1981, through bomb blast, they killed the president, prime minister, and head of the Iranian judiciary, along with 70 other political and legislative figures. And according to the available statistics, they martyred 12,000 ordinary people. However, they took shelter in France, which portrays itself as a champion of human rights and freedom. Or right now, consider the Yellow Vest protesters who have been holding rallies in Paris. They have been suppressed and a number of them have been blinded. This is the way they treat their own people. However, they criticize other countries to uphold human rights. In England, this country filled its treasury by colonizing and looting eastern countries, mainly the Indian subcontinent, and it created poverty and hunger for the countries under its rule. The British had a ruthless economic agenda when it came to operating in India, and that did not include empathy for native citizens. Under the British Raj, India suffered countless famines, but the worst hit was Bengal. The first of these was in 1770, followed by severe ones in 1783, 1866, 1873, 1892, 1897, and lastly, 1943-44. Also on April 13, 1919, hundreds of unarmed men, women, and children were gunned down by British troops at Jallianwala Bagh, a walled garden in Amritsar, falling unrest in northern Indian city. The British government, which ruled India at the time, put the death toll at 379, while Indian freedom fighters said nearly 1,000 people were killed. And therefore, the main problem regarding human rights law is that the drafters themselves are disproportionately and disappointingly are the main violators, and they have created a deep gap between what is lectured and what happens in practice. This hypocrisy of the Westerners is now evident with the awareness of the nations more than ever before. In practice, European countries and the U.S. literally committed all kinds of crimes all over the world. Well, these are the masterpieces of Western civilization and Western liberal democracy. It is true that the discourse and theoretical apparatus to realize this role outside the Western narrative of law has not yet evolved, but there are many flaws. This entails the necessity to investigate and create discourse around alternatives.
Quran Quest is Please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to Quran Quest, broadcasting on IRIB English Radio from Iran. And this is the program where we study the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear and beloved Sheikh Habib. Sheikh Habib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
We started off really nice with Surah Al-Mudathir, chapter 74 of the Quran. And I'm very ambitious about the next episodes and this one as well. So let's go listen to the first few verses of this chapter, and then we'll start with verse 4. In this discussion, don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
يا أيها المدثر.
O you who covers himself with a garment.
فأنذر.
Arise and warn.
وربك فكبر.
And your Lord glorify.
وثيابك فطهر.
And your clothing purify.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to the first few verses of chapter 74 of the Quran, the covered one. So this chapter began by telling the Prophet to warn the people, because people are more moved by fear than they are by ambition. And then we explained about glorifying God subhanahu wa ta'ala and the importance of monotheism, how it should be central in a person's life. The more monotheistic you become, the more you understand that everything is about God subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more liberated you become, and the better the society gets into order. On verse 4, it reads, and purify your clothes. What kind of purification are we talking about right now?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Of course, purify your clothes. There are a couple of interpretations to it. I'm going to go down with the most famous, which is the clothes that you're wearing. Purify them. Keep them clean. Therefore, when Allah is ordering you to purify your clothes, so this is your clothes, the thing that you're wearing from the outside. So how about the inside of yourself? Mm-hmm. Purify yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So if you're purifying your clothes, It's more important to purify mm-hmm. yourself as well, because yourself is much important than your clothes. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that the clothes means that it's yourself. It's yourself. It doesn't mean clothes. It means it's yourself. It's kind of like the first
your
interpretation.
Body.
Your body. No, not your body. Your soul.
Uh huh. So like the first interpretation.
It's like the first one, but the first one also wants you to purify your clothes as well.
Uh huh. I see.
The third one is kind of, you know, available in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, available in Al-Kafi, volume 6, a couple of sayings about it. The meaning of tahir is pretty much to shorten your clothes, because the Prophet, the Arabs at the time, used to wear what? Like what I'm wearing right now.
People
can't see me, a dishdashe, right? And they used to call it qamis.
A shirt, I guess.
That's a translation now.
Mm-hmm.
But the Arabs, when they used to say qamis, they meant dishdashe.
It's a one-piece clothes
it's
that
one-piece,
you wear and
yeah,
covers your
the
whole
Arab
body.
Garment, the Arab garment.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be long at that time and used to trail on the floor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet here to shorten.
So it doesn't get dirty.
So it does not get, so it doesn't, you know, because, you know, that's the status of being clean.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of sayings. I think we have to take a break. So I want to talk about them
sayings
and maybe generalize the mm-hmm. meaning of the verse. So it could be, you know, comprehensible with the rest, or, you know, compatible with the rest of the interpretation.
I see. So just to sum up, this verse can either mean that if it's telling us to clean our clothes, it means, more importantly, clean yourself, your intentions, your soul. Or it could actually mean to maintain the religious, ritual cleanness or purity, cleansiness of your clothes.
Taqwa, like we have that verse, the uh-huh. clothing of fear, the fear of Allah.
Allah. Or it could just mean keep it clean, as in not dirty. Yeah. One of these three interpretations. I think it's a good time for us to take a break. We'll be back for the rest of the discussion. Don't miss it.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are on verse 4 of chapter 74 of the Quran. And purify your clothes. So before the break, we said that there are three interpretations. The last one was about shorten your clothes so that they don't get dirty when you walk around.
Yeah. And this is pretty much the way that the Prophet, pretty much, it's more than just keeping dirt away from your clothes. This is pretty much putting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi in a new culture. This is pretty much bringing in a new culture, a new system that the people should follow. Even the way that you wear your clothes is important in the system. The first thing that happens in the revolution is the way that the people wear their clothes. Mm-hmm. One of the first things. Fashion is
their
very important.
Their outer appearance.
Yes. Fashion is important to mm-hmm. some extent.
Because it's also sending a message. The way,
yes,
you look,
the way you look
is a message to other,
exactly,
people.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi used to wear the short dishdasha. Now, unfortunately, now at times it's attributed to the Wahhabi school of thought, the Salafi school mm-hmm. of thought. And not trying to go back to the interpretations available and the dhahr al-siyaq, as they say, the apparent meaning of the words. When it's short and you're walking on the streets, najasa will not come. Those impure things do not come to on the clothes. Well, it's short. It's to your heels, right? So it means qasr. So it's saying with thiyabaka fatah, keep your clothes clean. Keep yourself clean. Again, also going to that first interpretation. If we're keeping our clothes clean, that we can change, that we can wash, so how about our souls? How about our nafs? How about our desires? We should clean ourselves as well. This is something also, like your outside kind of reflects, kind of, I'm not going to say totally, kind of reflects your inside. If you're clean from the outside, Allah yuhibbul mutahharin, Allah loves those who are pure. Allah loves those who clean themselves. So even from the outside and from the inside. Your appearance, your outer appearance, and your true self. So that's something to keep in mind.
So instead of that, why wouldn't God subhanahu wa ta'ala directly tell us that clean your soul, clean your spirit, instead of telling us to clean your clothes? And
again,
for us
going back to
that
importance of the appearance, again, going back mm-hmm. to that changing of system,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, kind of, it's a movement. The mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi was not only just to say that don't worship these idols, it was also to have a government that preaches Islam, that has Islamic laws, Khatam al-Adiyan, the last of religions. This is the new Sharia. This is something that you have to follow. You have to change. There has to be a community that is together. It has to change. Mm-hmm. The way that they wear their clothes, the way that they sit, the way that they eat, all of it has to change. And the Prophet ﷺ had actions that were precise to him that he did that are considered the sunnah, that are recommended to follow. The way that the Prophet used to sit down, the way that he used to stand up, the way he used to drink water. All of these have been collected in a book called Sunan al-Nabi by Al-Allama al-Tabatabai, available in English language as well.
And are we going to be encouraging people to try to go back to that form?
That's the thing.
Clothing?
That's the thing. See, the beautiful thing about the saying of Imam Sadiq. We might have something that is true. We might have something that is lawful. But we cannot apply it. Why? Because the time does not help us. We are not living in an Islamic society.
The people are not ready to
ready to comply to it. It's unfortunate about not having the true successors of the Prophet.
Again, we have to consider the message that we're sending out.
Yes. To some extent, your words might be discussed. But,
yeah,
but
well,
the meaning
course,
is that, like, you know, like for example, even like...
If we don't have to do it, like prayer, we'll always pray.
Yeah, prayer is something that... There are obligations that we have to do, yeah, right? But there are
regardless
some actions. Like for example, the way of sitting down, it might change.
Yeah.
The way of, you know, how we, you know, send our greetings might change.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that there are actions that are lawful. They are the ones that Allah wants us to follow as a society, but we are unable to do.
I see.
And this does not mean that we have to say that it's not available in the religion of Islam. No, mm-hmm. It is available. We're not able to apply it.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a late break, but we'll be back immediately for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we're discussing the first verses of chapter 74 of the Quran with our dear and beloved brother, Sheikh Habib. Sheikh Habib, let's move on to verse 5. We learned a lot from verse 4. And keep away from all impurity. So in verse 4, it told us to purify your clothes, which you said also means purify your soul. In verse 5, it just generalizes it altogether and says, and keep away from all impurity.
Here it's talking about the actions. Over there it's talking about that status of the person. It's talking about
so
actions.
In the previous verse it's about our appearance.
Yeah.
In this verse it's about our behavior.
Yeah, you could say the appearance from the outside and the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's about our behaviors. Al-Rijis, of course, in the Arabic language goes back to meaning as sakhat wal-adab, punishment,
mm-hmm.
pain. So, and then they used it in the actions that bring in sakhat wa'adab, the actions that bring in pain and punishment. Mm-hmm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet, keep away from the worship of idols. Keep away from the general and bad conducts. Keep away from the bad morals. This is the meaning of it. So what is rijis, for example? Listening to haram music. Drinking alcoholic beverages, worshipping idols, lying, stealing, backbiting, killing, betraying, murder, whatever you want to, whatever thing that might come up to your mind.
Hiding the truth.
Yes, that is all considered to be rijis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered to keep away from the rijis,
mm-hmm.
to stay away from these actions. And of course, there are various sayings and verses that describe things and actions as rijis, and one must keep in mind that the meaning of rijis means that it brings in adab, it brings in sakhat, it brings in
dissatisfaction,
the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I have a question. Let's take this, if we want to take this as a rule of life right now, and we want to follow this, and keep away from all impurity, we're advised to assess how we've been living and what we've been doing on a daily basis, sometimes several times a day. They say that assess yourself before you get assessed on the day of judgment. Now, there are various ways to do this. And if we want to decide that from today, I want to check myself and see what kind of impurities I'm committing. What is a methodology that you would recommend that me and the listeners follow?
There's a saying available in Al-Kafi. Of course, available in Al-Kafi, volume 2, page like 250, something around like that page, all right? There's a saying available in Wasa'il al-Shia. It's been narrated from Al-Kafi Sharif. It's available in a book also, Al-Jihad al-Nafis. The jihad, or the struggle to keep oneself thriving in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the saying states that every insan, every human being is the doctor of himself. This means that the doctor should know what makes them sick and how to cure that sickness.
Mm-hmm.
So the first and most important thing is to gain knowledge. What is considered haram? What is considered mustahab? What is considered wajib? What is considered makruh? Know these actions, this halal and haram, this fiqh aspect to it. Know how to get over it. Then comes the factor of applying. And how you start off? Like how Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, there's this narration that states, that Imam Kadhim states, the person that does not think about what he did or account himself to what he did throughout the day, and does istighfar for every sin, and thanks Allah and praises Allah for every good that he did, is not considered one of the Shias, is not from us. Always remember, before you sleep, think about what you did throughout your day.
Review.
And be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. Was it a wrong action? You know what's wrong, you know what's right. Was it a wrong action or not? Mm-hmm. Why did I do this action? If it was a good action, alhamdulillah. If it was a bad action, astaghfirullah.
All right, thank you very much. I'm afraid that's all the time that we have. It's interesting that God starts by telling the Prophet to warn the people, and then immediately we're told to purify our appearance and our inside and our behavior. So these are probably one of the top three priorities of our life. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. We always learn a lot by speaking to you. This is all the time that we have. If you missed it, don't worry at all. You can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
A top Russian senator has said that the West can either address the security concerns of other nations or stick to a suicidal, egocentric attitude. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT wrote, in this regard, Western countries are standing at a crossroads and must decide whether they want to continue pursuing selfish policies that address only their own security, or recognize that this is a dead-end track. The Vice Speaker of Upper Chamber of the Russian Parliament, Konstantin Kosachev, said recently. Writing on Telegram, Kosachev, who also chairs the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Federation Council, said that sooner or later, the West will have to make an existential choice between catering for only its own interest or admitting that this suicidal strategy has exhausted itself. The senator noted that a return to the principle of indivisibility of security architecture was the only path forward. Kosachev explained that this means a deliberate refusal to ensure one's own security at the expense of other countries, adding that it serves as a cornerstone for all complex diplomatic arrangements. The vice speaker also claimed that there is a rift between Western countries on this issue. He pointed to the statements made by French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz on the need for a new security framework after the Ukraine conflict ends. According to Kosachev, these remarks suggest that there are still remnants of common sense and a sense of self-preservation in France and Germany, which are behaving more responsibly. That sentiment, however, is not shared by a number of other EU countries, including the Baltic nations and Poland, he stated. Earlier this month, Macron expressed the view that NATO should prepare security guarantees for Russia after the Ukraine conflict is settled. Around the same time, Scholz noted that peace in Europe depends on the revival of post-Cold War security arrangements with Russia. Reuters reported recently, citing sources, that the three Baltic states, along with Poland and Slovakia, had officially lodged their disapproval of the French leader's remarks on making guarantees to Moscow. The same day, Polish Deputy Foreign Minister Paweł Jabłonski said that Russia should not expect such promises from other nations, arguing that Moscow has to ensure the safety of the EU and not the other way around. According to the German Chancellor, there was still some degree of willingness in Berlin to discuss arms control and missile deployment treaties with Moscow, although he noted at the conference that this peace order would depend on Russia making some significant concessions and not Ukraine. Russia, meanwhile, would come to the negotiation table given that there is no aggression coming from NATO, Russian press RT reiterated. According to Times UK, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz recently said that the revival of post-Cold War security agreements with Russia were necessary to restore peace in the European region, while German Chancellor Scholz refused the prospects of returning to the past partnership with Moscow. He agreed and apparently displayed a willingness to work with Moscow in the future, Times UK reported. While Germany agreed to ink some agreements with the former Soviet Union, the Chancellor reiterated his support for Ukraine for as long as it takes, echoing the pledge by the European ally, the US. He clarified that Germany will not return to the pre-war partnership with Russia in terms of energy and gas reliance as Moscow achieved the Europe-wide dominance. Russia's President Vladimir Putin had accused NATO of fulfilling its regional expansionist agenda since 1990s, that he asserted threatens Russia's security and sovereignty. Putin lambasted NATO for bringing the weapons to Russia's doorstep weeks after he ordered the military intervention in Ukraine.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.